Well, welcome everybody to C3. What a transition. You guys are awesome. If you're right here in this venue, whatever venue you happen to be in, maybe you're online with us, you're streaming live. Maybe you're on vacation and you tapped in anyway. Thank you so much for coming out to C3 and being a part. We've been in this series called Engine Lights. And what we've been talking about is that there are times in our life when warning lights come on, kind of like the vehicle panel, that tell us, uh-oh, look out, there's something about to happen. And what we tend to do as human beings, we tend to want to put things and cover it up and hope it just kind of goes away on its own. But those warning lights are there for a reason, and it's because the Heavenly Father loves us. It's not because he's a judge and an ogre and doesn't want us to have any fun or anything like that. It's because he knows what's best. He deeply loves us, and he's sending out these warning flags so that you can step in to a different kind of living. And today we're going to talk about a supernatural way to live, because we're talking about the engine light, the engine light. You can either live in a natural, diminished power, or you can live with supernatural power through the Holy Spirit. Before we get there, though, I've got experiences with engine lights, totally. Years ago, I was so excited. I had saved up a bulk amount of money for my emergency fund. Emergency fund is a very important thing for you to establish, because when emergencies happen, then you have the funds to pay for them. Makes kind of sense, right? But I saw this amount of money swell in my bank account. And I thought, you know, there's something I really want. No, there's something I really need. I need a car. I think I'll buy a car. And there's some brand of car that I really like. I've never gotten to have the Mercedes. I want a Mercedes. I want a Mercedes car. So I decided, you know what? I'm a bargain hunter. So I'm going to look for a Mercedes bargain. So I scoured the internet and I found my perfect specimen, a gold Mercedes in New Jersey. We live in a global world. Who cares if it's in New Jersey? I can have whatever I want in 2 days on Amazon Prime. For sure I can get a car. No doubt. Look at this beauty, all these beautiful pictures. I call up and I talk to the dealer, and the dealer says, this is a beauty. I knew it. I saw it. Beauty. Everything's perfect on it. It's absolutely perfect. We're going to sell you this car. So I negotiated. Man, I was a great negotiator. I negotiated a plan. What are you going to do for shipping? Oh, we'll ship it to you for free. You'll ship it to me for free from New Jersey? That's just crazy. Oh, yeah, it's because we love you. It's because we think you're awesome. So I'm like, I'm getting a Mercedes from New Jersey. Shipping's free. 2 months later, the car ends up right here on the C3 parking lot. I'm okay. 2 months, all right. I've been waiting. I'm patient that way. Comes off the rack. Won't start. Car won't start. Call it. Hey, you said everything was working okay. It won't even start. Oh, it must be just the battery. Just get the battery check. Okay, replace the battery. Oh, cosmetic damage. Oh, I saw some things. Oh, wait a minute. Different things are happening. It's weird. When I drive down the road, it kind of rattles. It's funny. Pretty soon, I call up. No answer. New Jersey's dead. And so I call up, and so I'm driving. So I take it to the mechanic here locally, and they come back. Oh, I'm driving. I drive for a week. Everything's good, right? I say, the maintenance light comes on. Hey, it's just the oil change. Go get the oil change. Change the oil. Okay, do that. Pretty soon, engine light comes on. Within a week, engine light comes on. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking the worst, but I'm like, duct tape. It's okay. It's just got to be something else, because that guy was so nice. He couldn't have lied to me at all. So I'm driving, I take it to the mechanic, and sure enough, here's something you don't want. You don't want to hear these words when you turn your car in. Oil and water is mixed together. This is the other thing you don't want. You don't want anybody saying to you, you've got a cracked head. Okay? You never want to hear that in the Mercedes you just spent all of your emergency money on. So that's what happened to me. So I had to get rid of that car. There was a power failure. My engine light was on. The car that looked so good on the outside, mind you, after I did some cosmetic changes first, because I was really anxious that first week I got it all fixed up, only just to turn it in as junk later. Here's the deal. Sometimes we look really good on the outside. Sometimes we correct all the cosmetic stuff. Sometimes everything's going, but that check engine light is going on in our soul. The check engine is light, and we're ignoring it. We've been talking about it in this series. We put duct tape over it. Eventually, man, you're going to have water and oil mix. Eventually, you're going to have a crack. You're walking around with a cracked head. You don't want that. Today, the engine light is representative for me, the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the power for the follower of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that drives everything home and makes it all work. And when the Holy, if you're not tapped into the Holy Spirit as a follower of Jesus Christ, then you got a dead end going on. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, I had a lot of impressions about the Holy Spirit growing up. People weren't afraid to talk to me about the Holy Spirit. They did all the time. Some people don't have as much experience as I had. That's okay. But I want you to know, I got a little confused sometimes when I was a kid. You know, I don't know how many kids, sometimes we got kids in here. Sometimes I was a little kid, you know what my pastors did? I had this one pastor. He would like take a little handkerchief, and whenever he was preaching, he would sweat profusely, this Scottish dude. He would sweat profusely, and he'd go, "Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit." And he would dab his head, "Holy Spirit." So something was happening in his body, evidently. And so he'd be tapping his head, he'd always have this handkerchief, he'd flick it out, spit, yell. And then I went to another church, and I heard about the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, people are like flinging things around. They're dancing around, talking about the Holy Spirit. I started thinking, man, maybe the Holy Spirit is all about fabric. Maybe it's about fabric. Maybe you're supposed to like yell and jump around and throw fabric around and say, "Holy Spirit." Then I went to seminary, to Bible school. I had this great professor. This is a great professor. He's from Britain, and he went to Oxford or something. He was a great dude. Liked him a lot. All of a sudden, he pulls out a handkerchief in the middle of the thing, and he goes, "Holy Spirit." And he kept doing that the entire semester. By then, I was older, and I realized something. That was just personality types, right? That was just one way of expressing how excited they are about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I don't denigrate them, but it's not for everybody. I didn't need to dance around with fabric to have a powerful Holy Spirit living in my life. It's okay, and it's okay for you too. And so I don't want you to be confused today. I want us to explore a little bit about the Holy Spirit, the foundations of who he is in our life, what it means for a follower of Jesus Christ to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells his followers about the Holy Spirit just before he heads to the cross to die for our sin. Look at the book of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. When you see an underline, when we're reading verses at C3, I want you to try to say them out loud. It says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or advocate to help you and be with you forever. It is called the Spirit of Truth." And then it goes on to say that the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or what? Knows him, but you know him, he says to the disciples, because he lives with you and will be in you. That's a marked contrast. Lives with you, but lives in you. Wow. Jesus explains then two principles. I want you to capture, nothing else. Go ahead and grapple with this for a moment, because our world tells you lots of stories about the Holy Spirit and his power. Ready for this? Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit is not an it. That's your first fill in the blank, if you're filling out blanks. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a supernatural energy power. It's not that. It's not Buddhist enlightenment. It's an it. It's part of the Trinity. Woo, some people's brains just blew up, right? It's one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's an it. He's a he. The Holy Spirit is actually a person. His personal pronoun is he. If he were in the today's day and age, Jesus would say, "The Holy Spirit wants to be called by he." He. He is a he. Only followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, can comprehend the Holy Spirit. That's your next right. Only followers of Jesus Christ can see the Holy Spirit. Hey, don't get mad at me. If you're here today and you're kicking the tires, you're going to find out how the Holy Spirit's drawing you, okay? So don't check out right now. But if you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, this Holy Spirit stuff's weird. This dude's rolling around with fabric, talking about weird stuff I don't understand. It makes a lot of sense to me because Jesus said that if we're not followers of Jesus Christ, this Holy Spirit stuff is kind of confusing. We need something to be able to interpret it with. See, the activity of the Holy Spirit can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit. The activity of the Holy Spirit can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit. So for those of you who are not followers of Jesus Christ, bear with us as we walk through, because I'm trying to challenge believers in Christ, and we're going to draw other people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus goes on to say, as far as followers, not only will the Holy Spirit be with you, it said, but here's what's amazing. The Holy Spirit is going to live inside of you. It's going to exchange the natural disposition, the natural stuff where we strive and we try and we walk through things and we try to make it and we try to be better and we're better persons. Instead, the Holy Spirit's going to come and live inside of you so that you become supernatural. You go from a natural person, an instinctual, living by your instincts, to something bigger, supernatural, something that comes from God the Father. It is the miracle of the power of God that lives inside you. The same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave, he was dead, and Jesus Christ came back to life, is the same Spirit that lives in those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that's like? You should, because many of you claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So why isn't this thing erupting inside of you? It's because you're putting duct tape on the engine lights. Let's not diminish the Holy Spirit's power in life. The same Spirit resides in you. You no longer have to be led by simple, natural instincts. You now have a supernatural option. Oh, what if Jesus was right here with us, though? What if he was standing right? Wouldn't that be awesome? When I was young, I used to play at this train set, and I swear to you, Jesus was hanging out with me. What I've come to know is that, and I know some people have, it's okay to have imaginary friends, but I'm telling you, it wasn't an imaginary friend, but I just felt like God was kind of playing trains with me. Just thought that was kind of cool. But here's what I've come to find out. Jesus was with the disciples, and they never wanted him to leave because they thought it'd be so cool for him to be with them. Wouldn't that be cool? Imagine this. He's hanging out with you all the time in every circumstance. A bad thing's happened. Poof. Jesus says, all fixed. Right? That'd be awesome if Jesus did that. Just hanging out, fixing all my problems. How about this? I'm low on food. When I was growing up, there were times in my life where we didn't have a lot of food, actually. I'll just be honest with you. We were sitting around. We would eat leftovers till kingdom come. We'd be going to the neighbors trying to figure out how to get some more food because there were layoffs and there were things that were going on and we needed some food and there were times. But what if Jesus was hanging out right with me and 5,000 C3ers needed food? Poof! Costa Vida pork enchiladas. Bam! Because I like pork enchiladas and Jesus likes what I like. Of course. So, what if my cat Peter ran out in the middle of the street, which he would never do because he is way too smart. My cat is the smartest animal on the planet. But if he did run out into the street and a car hit him and ran over him and he died and Jesus was right there with me, Jesus could simply look down at Peter and say, rise up, and Peter would just poof, poof, come back to life. Now, what if Pastor Mark's dog ran across the street? Because Pastor Mark's dog's nowhere near as smart as my cat, and he's smaller than my cat. He runs across the street, poof, gets hit by a car. Jesus could have the best memorial service you've ever seen. Ever. It'd be absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. But no, really, what if Jesus was right here with me? And I wanted to do something that wasn't going to help me. It wasn't going to be helpful to me, you know. It was going to be something that was going to harm me, you know, because he knows the future. He knows exactly what's going on. What if he was right there with me? And I would probably go, oh, Jesus, I guess I'm not going to go do that thing because you're sitting here right with me and you just whispered. You just said that's not the right thing. I go, okay, I guess I shouldn't do that thing. I don't want to be harmed. How could it ever get any better than that? And that's what the disciples were asking as well. They were asking, how in the world can it ever get better? And Jesus responds with, the Spirit is not just with you, he's in you. Look at this, John 16, 7, Jesus answers this, but in fact, it is what? Best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the counselor won't come. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. I will send him to you. Wow. Jesus said it was not best that he's hanging out with you. Can you imagine that? He says it's better that he sends the Holy Spirit in his place. So you see, the Holy Spirit gives you power. Gives you power. He's your counselor. He's your guide. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's the one that fills you. And there are three things. There are more than three things, but we only have time for three. We don't have time for the 10 things that I originally wrote down. Three things that the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do. First of all, the power of salvation. The power of salvation. You see, the Holy Spirit draws people supernaturally. You're not here by accident. If you're kicking the tires today, somebody invited you. You are not here by accident. The Holy Spirit's been working on your life, drawing you a million ways. Maybe you're in a bad circumstance and you thought, I'm just here because I need something. Because life is just bad. Things are bad. I want you to know the Holy Spirit's already working towards you supernaturally. He's drawing you. He says, I'm here and I'm available for you. God can save you miraculously because he saved Jesus miraculously. He rose Jesus from the dead. You know, Nicodemus caught on. Nicodemus was this Pharisee, and Nicodemus was part of this group that were religious leaders of the day, and he saw Jesus doing all these miracles and all these great things, and so Nicodemus went to Jesus in the middle of the night. Why do you think he went to Jesus in the middle of the night? Because he was afraid of his peers. He thought they were going to make fun of him for going to Jesus. He didn't want their ridicule and their ostracization. He didn't want to be pushed out of the inner circle. So he goes to Jesus at night, and he goes to Jesus and says, I've been noticing all of the miracles you perform. I noticed that you change people's lives. I think you might be from God. And what does Jesus say? Hang on, Nicodemus. Hold on. You can't have this power unless something happens. You can't have the things that I'm talking about unless you understand something. He looks at Nicodemus and he says, you have to be born again. Nicodemus, he goes, born again? How can I crawl inside my mom's womb? I'm an adult. Weird. You know, Jesus says weird things, right? He's like, weird. I can't do that. But Jesus answers Nicodemus right here. John 3, 5, and 6. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, say it with me, gives birth to spirit. So tell me now, can you have a personal relationship with God by being a nicer person? Answer, no. You have to have the Holy Spirit residing in your life. At least that's what Jesus believed. Now, if we want to believe somebody other than Jesus, that's okay. But that's what Jesus said. And so I choose the guy who raised from the dead. I choose him. In other words, your mom gives you physical birth, but your heavenly father gives you spiritual birth. You can be born anew. When you invite Jesus Christ in your life, he takes all of the sin because of his power, not because you're nice, not because you're good. He just does it all. The Holy Spirit just wraps that all up and throws it out the window, and you start anew. And you can start anew every single day, fresh. But some people say, well, how do I really know that God is in my life? How do I know this power of the Holy Spirit is really in me? And you know, that is actually hard to explain because the answer, oftentimes God's answers are so simple. We're like, oh, it's got to be more complicated than that. Got to be a scholar in order to understand that. But God tells us very simply. By illustration, I was out in the Connect room one time a few weeks ago, and this little girl was in there. And so I walked up to the little girl. I go, oh, how are you doing, you know? And she was deathly afraid of me. I don't know why. She was afraid. And she's like, whoa. And so I go, hi. And then right then, her father comes in. She runs over to the father, grabs her father's leg, and looking back at me, like making sure that I wasn't going to harm her. And I went to her, once something's a little bit calmed down, I went to her and I said, how do you know this is your father? I don't know why I goof around like that with kids. Oh, my poor children, my own children. How do you know this is your father? She looked at me so angry. Because he told me so. She didn't want anything to do with me. I wasn't able to win her back. But here we go. God tells you that the Holy Spirit is in you. God tells you that you're his. Romans 8:16 says this, the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, testifies with what? Our spirit, little s, that we are what? God's children. It's the Holy Spirit we have to have in order to testify, to tell us that we're his. So I don't know how exactly to explain it otherwise, other than when you're sitting back at home, sometimes you just go, yeah, I know the Lord, and he knows me, and he's part of my life, and I don't know how to explain it to anybody, but this is what's happening. This is a real power that I have in my life, and you can have that too. So the Holy Spirit will give you the power of salvation, the power to ask, the power to receive, the power to know. And God says, you're mine. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of salvation. When the Holy Spirit comes, he'll give you power. Second thing for your notes, the power he'll give you is to walk in God's will. God's will. It isn't our striving and wringing our hands and making sure we're doing everything right. God actually gives you the power to do his will. When you don't know where to go or what to say in a particular moment or how to make it through the day, the power of the Holy Spirit will do something in the follower of Jesus Christ and will guide you and lead you. For example, listen to Jesus' own words. He said it. It says, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will what? Teach you all things. He will also remind you of everything I have said to you. It is the Holy Spirit. So if we go through this Christian life and we don't talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not invested in this, we're missing everything. The Holy Spirit is what testifies in our life about who God is and how much he cares about us. He is the supernatural he that lives in our lives so we can communicate with God the Father. Imagine that. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's your counselor. He's your guide. And he will lead you to walk in God's will. You know, I was speaking at a large event one time. I was there to torture a whole bunch of people like I torture you. And this producer came up. Young lady sat down next to me. She had a fancy mic, fancier than the one I have here. Sorry for bumping. Sorry, online. So she sits down and I hear her barking orders very nicely. But she's telling orders. She's giving direction. And we're on in four and cue the lights. And she just kept talking and talking and talking. One moment she leans over to me and she goes, hey, Adam, you're on in 2 minutes. I want you to take a deep breath. Let go of any cares that you have. Everything's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And then when I was about to stand, she says, get ready to stand up. And one, two, three, stand up. And it was that clear. And then I had to stand up and I went to bed. Well, I was telling a friend of mine who's much bigger and much more prominent than I am, who's on TV sometimes, and he was telling me, oh, yeah, Adam, I know that story. I get on the put in the little mic, and the whole time I'm talking, there's somebody saying, don't slouch, sit up, smile bigger. All these kinds of things are going through his head. And so that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, directs and guides us. Maybe the power of the Holy Spirit is moving you by being your counselor. Maybe there's somewhere you're not supposed to go, and he whispers, don't go there. Maybe you're in a confusing spot. Let me tell you this. The way you listen to the Holy Spirit is to wait and stop for a moment. If you're running frenetically, you're not going to hear very well. So stop and listen. Holy Spirit, what do we want? What do you want to do in my heart and life today? Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in each of these people's lives today at C3? Maybe you're in a situation and you're just walking by someone at Costco and the Holy Spirit says, go and talk to that person. You're like, oh, I'm so busy. I got this big grocery bill. I got to do this. I got all these tasks I got to do. No, maybe you just listen and you stop. Maybe you're in the middle of a conversation with someone. You don't know what to say. Maybe you just stop and listen. Maybe you send out a prayer. Holy Spirit, if I'm supposed to say something, give me the words to say. The Holy Spirit guides us that way. Maybe you find yourself in a dark room. You ever play that game where you blindfold and somebody else tells you where to go and how to get there? You know? The Holy Spirit leads and guides us. Maybe you're in this dark place and the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. Don't take a step there. Duck. Look out. There's danger ahead of you. Watch out. You're heading out of God's will. Do you choose to duct tape that? Do you just go, oh, I don't care? Wait a minute. There's a person who needs you. Reach out to them right now. This person needs encouragement. This person needs prayer. Stop and pray for them. Do you stop? Give something away. By the way, thank you for giving to all the Jamaican kids. We're going to be building those houses. We got everything we wanted for that. Appreciate it. It's a step-by-step following the voice of the Holy Spirit. He leads you. In John 16, 13, it says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So when Mark is preaching or somebody is discussing or you're reading God's word, have you ever noticed that sometimes you're hearing things that the person isn't even saying? Something inside of you says, whoa, I got to do that. I feel this. I sense God speaking to me right now. Have you ever just sat there and gone, that's amazing. That's not what he said. That's not even what the guy's talking about, but I'm feeling like God's speaking to me right now. That's God leading you. You might say, what? Why does he do that? Because that's what he does. He lives inside of you. He translates. He fixes. He tells you what to do. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to walk in God's will. And the third thing the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do is to live a holy life. It gives you holy. Man, when we hear that word, we think some weird things, right? Holy does not mean arrogant or weird. It doesn't mean arrogant or weird at all. It means simply set apart. It means supernatural. You have natural instinct. I live holy. I live supernaturally. I live different. I make different decisions than people who don't have the Holy Spirit. I just make different decisions because I'm being guided by that. I'm set apart, supernatural, not of this world. When the forces of darkness tempt to go in and tempt to lead me down a path of danger and a sinful life, the power of the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to live a holy life. In fact, Scripture says it this way in Romans 8:5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about what? Sinful things. But those are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Check in your mind right now. What are the things you're thinking about most often? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? It's not about being good enough. You can't do that in your natural instinct. You can't be kind enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't make everything work out. And you can't be perfect. It's not sin management. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to be your power. And then you live for Christ because you hear his voice and you walk that way. Before a person knows Christ, it's easy to be dominated by sinful thoughts. How about go ahead and lose your cool? Go ahead and yell at this person. Go ahead and just be frustrated with your kids. Go ahead and think lustful thoughts. Go ahead and be bitter or jealous or envious what other people have and tell the world how you've been unfairly treated. You can't make it. The Holy Spirit, however, can combat those things in your life and make you realize that it's a gift for everybody. Everybody's on the same playing field. All of us have the opportunity to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture goes on to say in Romans 8:6, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there's death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is what? Life and peace. Who doesn't want life and peace? You want death and frustration? Or you want life and peace? So Jesus is saying, receive the Holy Spirit for life and peace. Question, will you choose today to rip off the duct tape? Will you choose to stop ignoring that the Holy Spirit wants to drive and be a part of your life? If you're not saved today, maybe you want to just commit. Just say, I give my life to the Lord. Maybe you are a believer and you've been just ignoring. Your engine light is on and you're diminished. Seek the Holy Spirit. Power to live a holy life. Convicting you to live a holy life. Sometimes it's impossible, did you know, to stop sinning if you don't have the Holy Spirit. There are some things that only the Holy Spirit can do to rescue you. There's a way out. Scripture says it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. So I advise you, live according to your what? New life in the Holy Spirit. then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil. So sometimes we enjoy, when we are in our sinful nature, sometimes we enjoy it, which is just the opposite from what the Spirit wants. You see, there's forces doing battle. Before you were a Christian, it kind of was fun. It was fun to do some crazy things that in the end were destructive. The destructive part wasn't fun at all, but kind of like when you're in the middle of it, you remember how exciting it was a little bit? But when you receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit all of a sudden goes, don't do that. Not going to be good for you. And you go, oh, I feel so guilty about doing that. I shouldn't do that. That is the power of the Holy Spirit helping you be holy. It's not condemnation. It's a rescue mission. It's power. So the Holy Spirit gives you the power of salvation, the power to walk in God's will, the power to live a holy life. He'll give you power. So there are two things I want you to take away today as you consider the spiritual engine, the Holy Spirit. First of all, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Never, ever, ever resist the Holy Spirit. Don't put duct tape on the engine light. Whatever you do, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't resist the direction that the Holy Spirit wants to bring you. Don't go, oh, that probably wasn't God, when it lines up with Scripture. Oh, I don't want to do it that way. Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Stephen was an early Christian, and he was killed for his faith, and the religious leaders couldn't stand it because he was just sharing truth so much, and they decided to kill him. He looks at them in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always what? Resist the Holy Spirit. We don't resist the Holy Spirit. Imagine if you neglected and ignored your children. If they kept coming to you over and over and over again. Hey, Dad, will you do this with me? Hey, would you hang out with me? Hey, would you participate with me? Hey, would you talk with me? And you kept saying, no, I'm too busy. I'm done. I'm away. I can't do it. I got other things. I'm too busy. I'm still living. I'm just barely surviving. Eventually, your kids will stop coming to you. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. He can be hurt. It's like the Bible talks about throwing water on a fire. The Holy Spirit's a fire, and you can quench it by throwing water on the fire. That's what it's like when you resist. Don't resist. How about this? Number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so instead of resisting the Holy Spirit, interestingly, in Ephesians 5:18, it says this, do not get drunk on wine, interesting contrast, which leads to debauchery, which is actual sensuality out of control. Instead, be filled. What does it say? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled means to always constantly be filling up. Don't stop. It's not a one time. In the Hebrew, this word be filled means be filled, filling, filling. That's kind of how it interprets, like fill, fill, filling, filling. Over and over again. It's like always be filled. It's like the contrast is drinking, 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 drinking versus filling, 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 filling. When you drink, 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 you have a chemical reaction in your body. You make bad choices. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you make the right choices. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do a substitute. Don't let other chemicals control you. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. Let him be your decision-making and your guide. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can have the Holy Spirit's power to be saved. You can have the Holy Spirit's power to live a holy life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, for everyone in the sound of my voice that wants to receive Jesus Christ's power and they're followers of Jesus Christ, I ask that they would pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I need your power. I recognize I've been putting tape over your warning signs. I don't want to quench your Holy Spirit anymore in my life. I want you to live supernaturally through me. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to follow you into these areas where I need help. Lord, will you continue to work your power in me? And then for those of you who haven't decided for Jesus Christ, but today is the day you want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, so you can have this power, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I know that I'm a sinner, and what I need is to be transformed, and I can't do it myself, so I put myself on the table, on the operating table, and I say, Lord, take my life. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I commit my life to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did either one of those things in your mind and your heart, you're filled with the Holy Spirit today. So let's not leave C3 the same. Let's go and make some differences. Let's go listen a little bit. Let's make some better choices. Thank you for coming out today. As you're leaving, there's prayer partners. Tithes and offerings go in the back. Meet people in the connect room to figure out how to get connected with the app, etc. I will be over in the welcome center to say hi to you. And we love you, and we can't wait for you to come back. Good day.